her.
In the previous episode of Aphon Kiss by Alice Dale, there was another air raid. This time, daughter Irene stayed with her mother in the Anderson shelter until the raid was over, and they went to bed in the house. They were wakened by a young policeman arriving on the doorstep.
"Can I come in?" the young policeman said quietly. Now Philippa was alarmed. "Yes, of course." And as he crossed the threshold and walked past her, she closed the door, saying, "It's bad news, isn't it? Has my husband been injured? He put himself in danger last night saving a young woman. She had a baby. Our house had been bombed." Then she became aware she'd been rattling on, and they were still standing in the hall. "Oh, I'm sorry. Please come in," she said, leading the way into the sitting room. She turned to face his serious expression, and still he said nothing, just swallowed. "It's all right. You can tell me. What's happened?" "I'm so sorry, Mrs. Stebbings." He hesitated. This was his first time breaking news like this. "Perhaps you should sit down." "I know what that means, so you'd better say it." "I don't need to sit down." "Say what?" Irene was in the doorway in her dressing gown. She moved into the room and stood close to her mother, with her gaze fixed on the policeman. Finding his voice, the young constable aimed the news at the younger woman.
"I have to tell you that Mr. Stebbings was hit tonight with flying debris."
"Oh, God! So what happened then?" Philippa asked, since he seemed to have dried up. "Is he in hospital?" she persisted.
"I'm sorry to have to tell you that the ambulance men tried to revive him, but they couldn't."
He dropped his head onto his chest and fell silent. "You're saying he's dead?" Philippa said.
The constable nodded his head, his eyes on his boots. Now Philippa did need to sit down. Slowly she sank onto the sofa. Irene immediately sat beside her and put her arm round her mother's shoulders. The policeman spoke again.
"I'm so sorry. May I offer my condolences?"
"Yes, of course, thank you," Philippa said without looking up. The young man just repeated, "I'm so sorry." Irene rose and said, "Thank you, Constable. I'll see you out." He was only too relieved to follow her to the hall, where she held the door open.
"I'm so sorry,"
he said again, and tried to leave with some dignity, wishing he could think of something more comforting to say. Philippa was still sitting on the sofa, wringing her hands, when Irene ran to her and knelt at her feet. Grasping the restless hands between her own, she said, "John and I will arrange everything. Don't worry about any of that, Mum." In a distracted way, her mother said, "How stupid of me. I didn't even ask where they'd taken him." Then, changing to resentment, "He should have told us that and given us more information. That constable was hopeless. He was too young for the job." "He said there were ambulance men there. They've probably taken him to a hospital." Philippa spoke somberly.
"And every hospital has a morgue. So we just have to find out which hospital they took him to."
"Yes, we'll find out tomorrow."
"I'd like to see him. Will you come with me, Irene?"
"Of course."
Stan's body had been taken to Killearn Hospital. Not an easy journey for Philip, Irene and John the next day. Their request to see the body reminded Philippa of her experience at Buckland Hospital. Not a refusal this time, more like delaying tactics. The receptionist, a bright young woman with dyed blonde hair and a happy smile, welcomed them with forms to fill in, which Philippa did willingly. Then she asked for information about her husband's death. The young woman said that a CDS colleague had given her husband's name and next of kin to the ambulance men, and they had informed the hospital of what had happened to the deceased. Philippa hated hearing her husband referred to as the deceased. But when she asked for that information, the receptionist said, "I'm afraid I can't help you there. I'm not given that kind of information. I'll see if I can find someone who does know. Excuse me a moment." And she left the desk and disappeared through a door on the left of the counter. When she returned, there was a doctor with her who went straight to John and gently pulled him to one side. They stood talking with their heads bent towards each other. Philippa felt excluded and annoyed. "I don't like being left out like this." Irene tried to catch her arm as she started striding towards them, but she was too late. Philippa addressed the doctor. "Excuse me, but I am the wife of the deceased. You're obviously discussing something to do with him. Why don't you discuss it with me?" The doctor answered gently, "We're not keeping anything from you, Mrs. Stebbings." John took over. "Dr. Grant thinks I should see Stan first, then decide whether you should." Pippa looked very pale. "Is it that bad?" she asked, her anger dissolving. "I don't know, Mum. Let's just do what Dr. Grant thinks is best." He smiled wanly at her, and Philippa simply nodded and started to turn away when the doctor spoke. "Down that corridor," he pointed out, "on your left, there's a canteen. Why not have a cup of something, and you can have a chat with John when he gets back. We won't be long." And he led her son-in-law out through swinging doors and down the long corridor beyond. Seated on wooden seats at a bare Bakelite table, both women sipped their tea. Irene was the first to speak. "Here we go again. The cup of tea that's supposed to heal all wounds." "I think we'll need more than that this time, Irene. I still want to know more about how Stan died." Irene patted her hand. "Dr. Grant will know that. We'll hear more in a minute. He said they wouldn't be long." She was right. As they finished their tea, John arrived, alone, pale and silent. And both women jumped up, searching his face for answers. Philippa could wait no longer. "Well," was all she said, and John knew what she meant. "I agree with Dr. Grant. I don't think you should see him, Mum." "Was he able to tell you anything about how it happened? That policeman, who looked like 14, said flying debris had hit him. Is that right?" John hesitated before deciding it would be an insult to give this intelligent woman anything less than the truth. "Slightly worse than that. It was more like several large lumps of concrete. They were running towards a house that had been bombed to see if they could rescue the occupants, when several huge pieces of concrete came down on top of Stan. Strangely enough, no one else was hurt. One of the pieces struck him on the face. Philippa gasped, and Irene covered her mouth with her hand. After a pause, John continued. He's completely disfigured. I'll never forget what I've just seen. And I don't think you would want to remember him like that, Philippa. Better to remember him as he was, because you'd never be able to get that horrible sight out of your mind. After a moment's silence, she said, I'm sorry you had to see that, John, and I appreciate you did it for me. Anyway, I think you're right. How about you, Irene? I'm with John. I'd rather have happy memories of Dad, remembering him as he was. I'll have to see Father Cleary tomorrow to arrange the funeral, Philippa said. I know you want to help, darling, but this is something I must do myself. And there's something else I'd better do whenever I get home. She paused. Write to Craig. I'll address it to Nurse Walters, so she can break it to him whatever way she sees fit. I hope this doesn't interfere with his progress. Thank you.